Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. A reminder that coming up around 11:30 this morning, we'll be going to the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, speaking about the response to COVID-19 and the coronavirus pandemic. We will be going to that as soon as it happens. Our Falling Into Place segment fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning, we focus on the Pat Wood Backpack Program at Skodak Central Schools. And joining us this morning, we have two of the people responsible for this. We have Rico Freese. Is that right? Rico is here?
That's correct.
Hello, Rico. You are Maple.
How you doing?
I'm well. It's very nice to have you on. Maple Hill High School teacher Rico Freese, and we thank you very much for being here. And I believe we also have Jen Sober with us. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. We had to make a last-minute adjustment, so I just want to make sure I have the right people. And Castleton, you are Castleton Elementary School social worker, Jen Sober. And Jen and Rico, thank you very much for being with us. Rico, let us begin with you as to how this all came about, this program, and what it is and how it works.
Well, first, thanks for having us on today, Joe. We appreciate it. And
pleasure.
Hopefully it helps our program continue to grow. 2015, actually, Pat Wood was a social worker at our school for over 20 years, and she was an integral part of the community and an integral part of growing or initiating the backpack program as well. And Jen Sober and Michelle Stilson are on the front lines as our social workers now and carrying that torch for our school district. We heard about the program from the regional food bank, the backpack program, and we decided to start it at a modest scale at Skodak Central Schools, and it's kind of grown since that point. We've averaged about 30 students that face food insecurity each year, and sometimes our numbers are a little bit higher than that or a little bit lower than that, but for the most part, it's 30 students that we're servicing through the backpack program at the elementary school and the junior and senior high school in Castleton as well.
So, Jen, give us a sense of as a social worker of what the needs are for the district, how you've seen those needs change over time, and even during this pandemic, have you seen the needs change?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we saw when we kind of first started the program was a little bit of maybe some reluctance on the part of families to sign up for the program. You know, I think there's an element of pride with accepting food and sending it home with their children. But what we have seen is that people have become much more willing to reach out and ask for help. And sadly, since just the COVID-19, we've actually doubled the number of students and families we are serving currently. So it's been really eye-opening and sad, but I think we're feeling, you know, a lot of pride that we're trying to help our families meet this need right now.
Right. And it is, when you talk about that need, so there's so many aspects to this, Jen, how do you find out about people? I mean, obviously as a social worker and Rico even as a teacher, you get a sense that there's problems and how do you make it official and then work from there?
You know, I don't know that there's ever like a great way to make it really official. But once we kind of get a hunch that there's something going on, usually one of the social workers will kind of reach out to that family and kind of let them know that this is available. Sometimes there's an initial no and maybe a call back in a few weeks when they realize that it is really something that could help their family. I would also say word of mouth. I think now as people have kind of seen and heard a little bit more about this program, there's a little more willingness to kind of accept that to accept the resource. Even just neighbors telling neighbors about it. I've had people say, listen, I have a new neighbor who, you know, moved in and maybe you could reach out to them. So there's a lot of word of mouth too. We're a small town and that kind of helps a little bit.
Rico, what do you think?
I think we're very fortunate. Like, the intimacy of our district is less than 1,000 students K through 12. And the social workers, the administrators, our guidance counselors, our child study teams, we're not 1,000% aware of everything that's going on in our community, but I would argue that we're pretty well in tune with the needs of our community. And the social workers do a great job, Jen and Michelle, kind of reaching out to those families and having them going through the process. And sometimes it's transient with families that they're literally transient families, but there's also some people are on it for a while, or some families and they opt out for whatever reason that might be as well. But it's a great thing when we service more people, but it's also kind of disheartening at the same time, if that makes sense. It's
just, of course,
the reality of the program is to try to get the backpack program from the regional food bank is to try to get kids through the weekend. Cause a lot of times schools are the only place that, children throughout the capital region and throughout the country, they get their breakfasts and lunches there. And it's a grave concern nationwide, but it also impacts the SCODEC community as well.
You know, it's one of the things that came up right after this whole pandemic. One of the great concerns about sending kids home and not having school or moving to online classes was that these student breakfast and lunch programs would be so affected, as well as even the backpack programs. So, Jen, if you look at that and considering we have kind of a moving target, we don't know when schools are going back, we really have no idea. How does that impact your planning and understanding as to, I mean, you just have to really go like we all are going, I guess, day by day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we got started right away as soon as we heard, you know, that the closure was coming up. We packed up a bunch of food that we had in storage and got it delivered, boxes out to families, kind of anticipating trying to help cover them for a little while. Now that we've had a little more time to plan, like you said, we're kind of addressing the needs, you know, trying to find different ways to be more efficient, make sure we're getting to more and more people. We've just got so many resources that we've been using. We have Hannaford contributes to us quite a bit. We now have some bus drivers who are delivering the food to families. So we've been able to kind of come up with a new plan moving forward as we go every week. And hopefully we're kind of getting better at it each week.
Well, it is an amazing work. It is amazing work that you are doing, and I want folks to know that they can find out more information. We have a link along with the interview at our website, wamc.org/roundtable, so people can find out more and for the incredible work that you are doing. Rico and Jen Sober and Rico Fries, thank you very much for being with us and for sharing with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program and a great appreciation for what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress.